Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you, as we have this pioneering heart, to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We are on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, as we come under the word of God, and the word of God comes and brings light to our path and transformation and renewal to our minds, that Lord, that we can live in the fullness of what you've called us. And we just, this aspect that you want to bring through your word this morning, Holy Spirit, we just ask that you bring your revelation to that now, and that we would all go out, not just encouraged, but Lord, changed to do what you've called us to do now. In Jesus' name, amen. I was just, as we were worshiping and God was moving in our midst, you know, the Holy Spirit was sent to us not to be put on the mantelpiece. He was sent there to teach us and to guide us into all truth and to teach us Christ. And that's not just a fact, that's a reality. And I want to say God the Holy Spirit is here this morning, and he's the only one that guides us, I understand, to bring the truth of Christ to us. And he brings that revelation to us. And I want to just say, as you listen to the word today and you comprehend it, don't only be gaining knowledge, but may there be an impact of your life and an impact of what you need to apply. Because I think so often with the gospel, we hear so much of the gospel, but is there an application? And application is an exercising of faith, and we all got to grow in our exercising of our faith. So this morning, I continue in what we've been covering, partnering with the Holy Spirit, and we started last week concerning spiritual gifts, and that was part one, and this week I want to be dealing with the outworking of part two, which goes a bit deeper into 1 Corinthians 12. But in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13, we know the scripture well. It says, yeah, he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ might be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of God. I want to just, my perspective of that is, yes, these men and women have been raised up to bring the church to maturity, but if they do not operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, there won't be this maturity that comes to the church. The church will become weak. And that has been, I think, a problem with some of the church for over a long time, where we have sent men and women to seminary and they've come out with theological degrees, and that's not wrong. That's right, to gain a knowledge of God's word and an understanding of God's word, which is good. But they come out with a lack of operating in the spiritual gifts, because the gifts were given to the church to bring it to a place of a whole measure of the fullness of Christ and to bring it into maturity. And I want to say that as we come in, I think we've been taught a lot about to put faith in God's word, and I wanted to encourage you to do that. When God reveals his word to you and he gives you his promises, I want to really just say, put your faith in God's word. God's word will never fail you. But I also want to just say, is put faith in God's gifts that he's given you. There's got to be an operation of the gifts of God. You know, we go and we study in life, and we generally, a lot of us get opportunities to further ourselves, and whether it's from a technical point of view or academic point of view, but there's a skill that we get, and we got to operate in that skill. And the same as when we come to the kingdom of God, God gives us these gifts to operate. They're not there to be put on the mantelpiece and to observe, I have this. It's to be operational in our lives. There's got to be an outworking, and God expects that to take place. So, again, I just remind you, we're going to continue in this journey of understanding what are the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit gives as He wills to the church. And I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 to 14. We're going to be reading that. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To the one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. And to another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. The body is a unit, and though it is made up of many parts, and though there are parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. We are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is made up of one, but of many. And I come to encourage you, here we find the Corinthian church that was caught up in idolatry. We read even there in paganism. And when they found Christ and they found the outworking of the Spirit, they became excessive in what they were doing. And we mentioned some of that. They were excessive in speaking in tongues, and Paul had to bring instruction through 1 Corinthians 14 to how the church should be operated in the outworking of that. And here he comes and he brings enlightenment to the church in Corinth. How does the Spirit actually work with the church, and how does the church get encouraged and to outwork with the working of these gifts that the Holy Spirit imparts to us? So I want you to remember that scripture, 1 Corinthians 12, 1. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I don't want you to be ignorant, and we mustn't be ignorant. And 1 Corinthians 12, 31 says, but earnestly desire the best, the higher gifts, yet I will show you my excellent way. And we know that the outworking of gifts always works out through love. We see that the gifts passage is in 1 Corinthians 12, the physical outworking, how it works in 1 Corinthians 14, but 13 sits in the middle, the outworking of. So the intention is always to work out through agape love. But I want to just say is that we need to desire these gifts. There's something that God has working in our lives that he doesn't just want to be mute. He wants us to have an expectation. And it's like a child. A child wants things. It wants for Christmas. It wants a toy, and it wants this toy, and it wants that bicycle. And as we've come to the kingdom of God, God doesn't expect us just to be sitting and plodding along. He wants us to grow in this dimension of the Spirit. And I want to just say there's so much more for us. I think we have limited God. We have limited the things of the Spirit because we don't always understand, and or maybe we're scared, or we haven't been exposed to these things. We're not desiring these things. And I want to just say, if you want to progress, you know, we want to progress in our lives. We go and study, and we want to get to a place where we do well, or we do well in our businesses. We always seem to be pushing that goal. And I want to just say there's something about desiring the higher, the best gifts that God has for us. So I come to encourage you here today is that God wants us to go deeper and further in this process. Just some word of enlightenment here. The church in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3, they could actually curse. And what was happening, because they came out of paganism and they hadn't yet been delivered, and these evil spirits were still working in their lives, it seems that they were cursing Christ at that time. But yeah, Paul comes and says, but by the Holy Spirit, you can only call him Lord. And I want to just say the Holy Spirit will always lead us to proclaim the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will never take honor and glory to himself. He's always pointing to Jesus as Lord. And I want to encourage you, it's such a key vital thing in this process of coming to spiritual gifts. We never take his Lordship away. We never come and exalt ourselves. We always keep him in that place as first. He's our King in the process. We're always under authority. We're never in authority. We're under his authority as we exercise his authority. Wonderful thing is just out of this thing, as I was just considering this whole thing, what is happening in the world today and what may be happening in Corinth there, the word Christian today is getting a negative connotation, because we've seen throughout the world, because we're not from another faith or another way of religion, we call ourselves Christian. And I just think we're in danger that, because so many people that are call themselves Christians have got wrong views. And hear what I'm saying today, and you may not agree with us, but this whole sexual gender thing where we are going, the church is in trouble, and because we call ourselves Christian, we're trying to accommodate everything. And I want to just suggest to us, at the end of the day, you need to believe what is right in the scriptures, and we need to hold to that. But I'd rather say that we need to become followers of Christ when we declare who we are. And maybe when you fill in that form and they ask you what religion you belong to, I want to suggest maybe we need to start writing down followers of Christ, because there's no ambiguity in saying that. Because when you say you're Christian, it can mean a myriad of things. And because of the eons and the church has been infiltrated, and especially as we see the church falling away and the apostate church and false doctrine coming, I think we need to make a stand in this process. And I want to encourage you as we do that. When people ask you, what do you believe? Just don't say what you believe. Say, I'm following Jesus. He's the one that I'm following. And I want to encourage you that, because it settles in your heart too. What are you about? And who are you representing in that going forward? So yes, we don't want to be caught up in pagan revelry. We want to be caught in that Jesus is. I'm just reading the Psalms today, Psalm 99. Our Lord is King. I just love that. Last week we had the coronation, and we encourage that Jesus is the King of Kings. And I just really want to encourage you, your Lord is King. No matter what is happening in this world, and this world is experiencing a lot of darkness at this point in time. And yes, it's a preparation for the Lord returning, but I want to just encourage you, let's keep him as King going forward. But what I want to do is, I really want to encourage you today, is how do we get these gifts to actually operate in and through your life? And as I said earlier, we've got to get to a place where we operate in faith. And what we do find in the world that a lot of people, the gifts that they receive, they've put them on the mantelpiece and they're dormant and they're not operational. Then there's others that have taken the gift and they have the gift, they know about the gift, but they don't exercise their faith. So it's very rarely that it comes out. And then there's others that are pursuing it and working with God, the Holy Spirit, and making themselves available, and God begins to use them. But then we get the excess. And we read that in Matthew chapter 7, where people were excessive in their outworking of the gifts. And they weren't under the authority. Jesus was not Lord. You see, that lordship wasn't there. And what did the Lord say to them? But they were casting out demons. They were doing all these things. And doing those things are not wrong, because the Bible tells us to do those things. But they were doing it in excess, not under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage us that we need to grow in the gifting of the Lord. And that's why we're dealing with this, is because I believe the Spirit of God wants to use you. You know, I'm not going to be talking on prophecy today, but I remember when I started to hear people to prophesy and they brought the word of the Lord to the church or to individuals, I sat with my heart and I said, Lord, I really want to do that. And I'm telling you, it's your legs standing still. It's a bongbrook thing when you have to be used by the Holy Spirit, because you don't know. You've never operated in the Spirit, because it's foreign. Because you've operated in the flesh and you don't know what it is to exercise faith. And I want to just say, I said, Lord, I really want to grow in this dimension of being used by you. And as I open up my lives, and I remember it was standing in front of the mirror in the bathroom and speaking to myself, trusting God to prophesy. And I started to practice. And not that it's speaking empty words, but I was talking to myself, and I was amazed what was coming out of my mouth, how God was actually speaking to me. And I want to encourage you is that do not push aside the Holy Spirit. You see, we can divorce the Holy Spirit from our lives. You can just be focused on the Word of God, and the Word of God is paramount. It's the authority of God, but it's got to be the Spirit and the Word. That's where the balance comes. because the Word brings us into God's total will, His total authority, but the Spirit moves according to the Word. The Spirit doesn't move anything contrary to God's Word. And I want to encourage us, we must move into it, and we cannot become conservative Christians or Christ followers. We've got to grow in this dimension. I want to say, every one of you, and the Lord's going to hold you accountable for the gifting that He's given you. We see that in the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25, that the talents that were given, what did you bring in return for what has been given to you? And yes, we desire, but we need to be an outworking of us. So maybe you've never been trained in this area. Maybe you've never been stirred up in this area to stir up the Spirit within you. But I want to stir the Spirit within you, because I really want you to grow in this dimension of who the Holy Spirit is in your life. I just know I cannot do what we are doing here but by the Holy Spirit. My testimony is that Romans 8, verse 14, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God, is a paramount truth. As much as we've got the guiding grace of God's total Word, but the Spirit of God wants to reveal Christ. And I have found over my life, and even the outworking of leading this church and doing what God's called us to do, it has always been the leading of the Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage us, and I'm talking to myself as I'm talking to you, we need to grow in the expression of the outworking of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. As much as we stand on the Word of God, and we do not deviate from God's Word. This is the full counsel of God, is His Word. But we need to be growing in the expression of the Holy Spirit. And I want to just say to you, you cannot minimize the Holy Spirit. There's the expression of the Spirit that's coming, and you might say, that's of the devil. I'm telling you now, if we surely follow in the Lord, God's going to do extraordinary things, extraordinary miracles. The things that took place in the book of Acts, some of the things that took place were never seen in Scripture before. When they used hankies, and they put hankies and they prayed and people were healed. When Peter's, or I don't know if it was Paul's, shadow walked and the shadow fell upon them and they were healed. There were words of wisdom and people fell down. Ananias and Sapphira, where they lied to the Holy Spirit, they fell down and died. I think there's this dimension of the Spirit I think we don't understand. And I believe as God's going to pour out His Spirit, we've got to be ready for the things. But you know what? God will never, ever force you into anything you do not want to do. A demon will, authority of darkness will, and will control you, but God will never control you. You have got to be willing. And it starts with that. Isaiah 6 said, here I am, Lord, use me. It starts with that availability. Lord, use me. And maybe you sitting here today, you've never prophesied. Maybe you've never been used by the Holy Spirit. You've never been used by Him, and you've limited Him. I want to just say, go before the Lord and say, Lord, here I am, use me. And you know, when you start, it's very difficult, and you become fearful about those things. But I'm encouraging you today, God wants to use you in a wonderful way. I want to stir the Spirit up within you, that the Spirit of God that lives within you doesn't remain dormant. It's the finest hour of the church, even though there is so much turmoil and there's darkness out, it's the finest hour for the church. And I really believe as we find our foundation in God's Word, but we work together with God's Spirit, there's an outworking. And I want to be talking or speaking about revealing something about the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. I want to tell you that some of these things, when these things begin to work in your own life and work in the lives of others, it's transformational. And God wants to use you. He's not a respecter of persons. It's not someone that has grown up and seemingly has a ministry and has gone through all the training that God wants. God wants to use you. God could, and hear this in the right way, God could use a donkey. He can use us. How incredible is that? And you are created in the image of Christ, and Christ dwells within you, and the Holy Spirit is in you. You just got to open your mouth and be led by Him. And I want to ensure you that God will actually use you in a wonderful, wonderful way. I just want to encourage us, these manifestations of the Spirit are for profit, They're not just for you as individual, they're there for the church. They are there to build the church up. And the Holy Spirit wants to use us to bring encouragement to the church and to bring life to the church. So I don't know if you know those old, my grandfather had an old Austin. It was a black Austin. And in those days, yes, it had a key to start, but it had one of those cranks that you put in the front and you put it into the motor and you had to crank it up if it wanted to start. And you had to turn the motor and the motor started up and off it went. And the sad day, we got rid of that car, but that was something of the heritage. I want to say today, your motor of the Spirit of God needs to be stirred up. You need to start it up. And you need to release what's inside of you. Because it's dormant at the moment. You haven't stirred it up. There's a scripture in Timothy, stir up the gift of God within you. Fan into flame that is within you. And you know, we cannot do these teachings of the gifts of the Holy Spirit if the Spirit is not stirred up within you. If you're not walking with Him, I want to encourage you here today is God, the Holy Spirit, is God. And we have to, as much as a relationship we have with Jesus, we've got to have a relationship with God, the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts, Jesus said, wait till you receive power from on high. Do you know what? They never had the New Testament. They never had any scripture. They had the Old Testament. They had the Old Testament scriptures. And they relied upon them. They knew those scriptures. But they never had the New Testament. How did they bring correction? How did they bring life? They worked with God, the Holy Spirit. And thank God for the Holy Spirit that He used men and divine inspiration, and we have the New Testament. But I want to just say to you, hear my heart in what I'm saying to you. This is the Word of God. The New Testament is our Word, and we do not deviate it from any way. But you cannot just say the Word. You've got to be with the Spirit. And we've got to get to a place where we are led by the Spirit of God and there's an outworking of Him in every one of our lives. There's a stirring that the Spirit of God wants to use you. And there's an influence that He wants. If your life is just mundane and it's just caught up in the ritual of normal life and you live to get up in the morning to go to work, do your job and get back and you go and buy your food and you live for your meal and maybe you pray, and maybe you read your Bible, and yes, you get stirred in that thing. That is ordinary. And that's what most men are called to live. But you are called to live an extraordinary life in Christ. And how these apostles, and they went around preaching the gospel, when you open your mouth and you preach it, it's extraordinary. It's the supernatural. And you do not know what's going to happen around the corner. You do not know what's going to happen. And I want to just say, we've become conservative. Our lives have become mundane and we've got to say, Holy Spirit, here I am. My good friend Norman is always mundane. He's always stirring the pot. Hey, Norman. And he's led by the Spirit of God and he stirs people and he leads people to Christ. It's not only Norman, it's every single one of us. Do not block out God, the Holy Spirit. He wants to work with you. He wants to work in you and wants to work through you. And I just bring these two aspects and I'm going to try and go through as quickly as possible. These two wonderful outworkings of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 8. To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit and to another the word of knowledge. These two gifts are absolutely vital. And we see that it's been operational in this good. So it can be a word where it can just be something that is given to someone through the word. We see someone speaks, like Ivan was mentioning this morning and speaking over the young people. There was a word of wisdom there, declaring over them. But I also believe the word of wisdom can also work and knowledge can work through preaching. That the wisdom is a practical application of how we actually apply the gospel and the message of knowledge is a deeper grasp of the whole counsel of God. And I want to just encourage you, these are things that are given to the church. You see, a lot of the church needs to be operating in the supernatural, in the power of God. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4 to 5, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith may not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And I want to just say that's the same thing for everything that you're doing in your normal life that you're doing, that your speech and your message, it's not just for the preacher, it's every one of us, is that the Spirit wants to demonstrate His presence and His power through every one of us. And I find that very encouraging. I want to make a statement to you today, and you might not like what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say to it, I'm not a qualified theologian. I do not have a biblical degree. I have some training in that, and I've got a diploma in these things. I'm a qualified accountant, but I have the Holy Spirit. And God has enabled me, and God has trained me. And do I have all knowledge? I don't. Do I have all understanding? I don't. But do I trust the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. When I get up there from here, yeah, I don't walk up here in my own strength. I say, Lord, you need to use me. And I open my mouth and I'm telling you, as I stand here and I'm talking to you, another man is speaking to you. Yes, he's using me as an individual, and as I'm submitted to him, God, the Holy Spirit speaks to you through me. And I'm amazed. Sometimes I'm standing here and I'm talking to you, but I'm talking to myself. Can you understand that? Because it's in the Spirit that there's a God within me and there's a God within you that can speak through you, and He can talk to you at the same time as he does these things. And I want to encourage you, this is where God wants us to go. So this word of wisdom and this word of knowledge, and I want to look at word of knowledge first. This word of knowledge, what is it? A word of knowledge is a supernatural revelation by the Holy Spirit of certain facts in the mind of God. God reveals His truth to us. So He imparts this word to us. It's a supernatural manifestation. It can work through an inward revelation. Jesus operated that at the woman at the well. God revealed to him within his heart. It's nothing to do with your human intellect or natural understanding. It's supernatural revelation that comes through God. So how does this work? It can come through visions and inward revelation. Can come through tongues and interpretation, through gifts of prophecy. Can even come when an angel appears to you and speak to you about what is happening. I heard a story then, I think I've shared it with you before, is that up on Witkoppen around that area a few years ago, this lady was driving and there was this man standing on the side of the road, and he wasn't hitchhiking, but he was standing there. But she stopped. He said, "Are you going somewhere?" He said, "Yes, I need a lift." Got in the car and he was driving with her, and she thought she was going in the right down Witkoppen, and the man put out his hand and he put it close to her face. And he said to her, "As close as my hand is to your face, is as close as the coming of the Lord." And the next thing, he disappeared. It was an angel that manifested as a man and was speaking to her and telling her about things to come. So God can actually reveal things in incredible ways to all of us. So this word of knowledge is not profound knowledge of the Bible. As I said, we need to understand the scriptures. We need to be diligent. And 2 Timothy 2:15, we need to present ourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I want to just say is theology and understanding theology is good. But be careful that your studying and your knowledge doesn't make you proud. We've always got to remain teachable. And we always got to be humble before God. We do not know everything. We will never know everything. Yes, you might know everything about your area of expertise here on earth, but you do not know everything about the Word of God and who God is. It's unfathomable. Yes, we've got to grow in our understanding, and He reveals truth to us, and He wants to bring us to that. So this Word of knowledge was also in the Old Testament. And I really do believe God wants to continue to work. A word of wisdom is a supernatural revelation by the Spirit of God concerning the divine purposes in the mind and the will of God. And God wants to work that word of wisdom in and through our lives. And we often see in the scriptures, because we're running out of time, I'm not going to go through all the scriptures, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge operate together, and God reveals His truth. But I wanted to say a word about natural wisdom. Natural wisdom is not a spiritual gift. Natural wisdom or general wisdom is to deal with the affairs of life. But God realizes as we live in life, we need wisdom. So in James 1:5, it says, "If you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him." But I want to encourage us is that Not only do we need general wisdom and we need wisdom to live, we need wisdom in the affairs of life, but we also need the word of wisdom and as the Spirit wills to reveal to us. And I'm just saying, sometimes in the affairs that we're dealing with, we need God's wisdom, word of wisdom in this situation. It's not just an activity that you've got common sense and you've gained knowledge and it's wise not to do that at this time. But what is God's will exactly in that thing? And a lot of us actually need a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge in what we are facing coming into our lives. And we need to trust God for that. Trevor and Marina, I just really sense you need a word of wisdom. You need wisdom in your future. What God's wisdom is what it is. It's not just counsel, and we've gone to counseling as our answer. We've got to go to God, and he's got to bring this word of wisdom. He's got to, because we've got to wait upon him, and he does. And we read the stories in the Bible is that when Paul was on the going to Rome, and he said to the, I'm reading Acts chapter 27, verse 10, he perceived that the voyage was going to be with injury and much loss, and not only to the cargo and the ship, but also to ours. But the journey went ahead. The captain and the centurion went ahead, came forward, and then they landed on a sandbar. And then in verse 20, Acts 27, verse 23 to 25, for this very night there stood before me an angel of God whom I belong and whom I worship, and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who sail with you. So take heart, men, have faith in God, and it'll be exactly as I've told you. So here God works this word of wisdom and word of knowledge to Paul, and he knows what's actually going to happen in that thing. So I bring to you today again to grow in the Spirit and to allow the Spirit. And yes, we haven't gone through all the giftings, and we've just been through basically three at the moment, but there's a process that I really believe God wants to operate in your life. And I want to say, personally, some of the greatest gifts that we can have is the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. And we've made that dormant, and we need more and more of that operational in the life of the church. And again, the encouragement I leave with you today as we walk in together, stir up the gift within you. Work with God, the Holy Spirit. He is not deaf. He wants to work with you. And if you open yourself to him, I assure you, God will work in and through your life. And you sense that in your life. You know, always when these words come, it's always subject to judgment. You don't always, when someone brings you a word of wisdom and knowledge, you always take it to the Lord again, and you trust for his peace. Because sometimes people can say, and this is a very big danger, people come with a word of wisdom and say, you will marry so and so and so. And how many lives have been broken because someone has said, this is the one that you're going to get married. Now, whether they're right or wrong doesn't matter. They've been obedient, and they believe they're doing the right thing. You've got to judge it. It's the same with prophecy. You've got to say, no, I don't believe that's God. But be very careful. Some people think they're so spiritual because the man of God or the woman of God comes and prophesies. And it happens. And, you know, we'll get into prophecy probably next week. And the problem is because people in paganism are looking for spiritual guidance, go to the Sangoma or witchcraft or the medium or the fortune teller, and they receive a word, and then they follow it. And invariably, a lot of it's right because it's a familiar spirit and knows about your life and starts to lead you in the right direction. But it always comes with a hook and leads you astray. And what has happened with these gifts is that the devil has perverted them. And we see right through Africa is that this gift of prophecy and the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge has been abused. And men and women are going to the prophet to prophesy and to bring these words and even paying for it. But it's darkness, folks. And that's why we've got to be very wise. As much as the Spirit wants to use us, we need to be very wise in understanding and being able to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. But don't, because of that, say it's rubbish and throw it out. I want to encourage you. We need, in this family and for those online and through the church, we really need the Spirit of God. If we want to be a New Testament church, if we want to be according to the book of Acts, We've got to trust the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us. If we're going to partner with him, he wants to use us. And yes, it's to be led by him and it's to preach this gospel. But this gospel comes with a mix. It's a recipe, and you don't always have one cake. It's not just a Christmas cake. It might be a sponge cake. It might be vanilla, whatever. There's a different mix for every situation, and you are so unique, and God wants to speak to you uniquely, and he wants to use you uniquely. So I also want to just say that these gifts, I didn't get to it, is only as the Spirit wills. You cannot demand of the Spirit. You've got to be in submission to him. And I do believe is that it's not just the 9 gifts that we read there. There's about 25 gifts that are in the scriptures, and there's many gifts that are not named. Anything, hospitality, worship, leading, these things are not named in the scripture, but there's a gift that God will want to use in any and every situation. So I don't want to limit the Spirit of God, and you can be used. I don't think you must go and look and say, what is my gift mix? I want to say you need to be saying that, Lord, here I am. And whatever and how the Spirit wants you, if he wants to do miracles, if he wants to do prophecy, whatever he wants to do, that you are available. Yes, Jesus was the one that operated without measure. All the gifts operated in him all the time. And he had no restrictions. But the Spirit wills with us. And in our diversity, I really want to encourage you, be available to the Spirit of God. Say, here I am, Lord, use me. And be surprised, and I want to challenge you. And if you're hearing God about direction, come and submit it. If it's really going to impact people, come submit it to the elders, that we can weigh it up, and then submit it to the people. And we pray about those things and allow God. We do this with order. We don't bring this destruction. And I'm telling you, it'll bring glory to God in these things, and people will be stirred on and taken forward. I know of my own life, when I first gave my heart to the Lord, or not the first time, when I recommitted my life to the Lord, there was a lady that came and spoke to me after. It wasn't as thus says the Lord. Came and said to me, you'll be a minister. And I nearly rebuked her. I was studying accountancy. I'm going to go and study, and I'm going to go and do all these things. But God had his way. And it was not in file 13, but it was put in the file. And God brought it to fruition at the right time as he stirred our hearts. So there is God speaking over our lives. So if God has spoken prophetically over you, don't throw those things away. God wants to release them too. We don't make them happen, but they are released in his time and in his purposes. Can I pray for you? And then I'm going to hand over to Ivan. Lord, this is a big topic, and it's a stirring topic of working with you. And Holy Spirit, we just want to say we're ready. We want to be used by you. We don't want to be sitting back and in our couch watching TV, but we want to be out there being used by you and bringing light and life to men through your gifting. And I know, Holy Spirit, you as you will, but I know everyone here, Lord, there's gifting amongst us, every one of us. And some of us have put it to bed and said, I'll never resurrect it again. It's not my time. And I just ask, Lord, help us to stir up these gifts that you have placed within us and to release them, to bring life and to bring encouragement and to take the church forward and to bring the church into maturity. It's not just the preacher. It's every single one of us that you want to use. Every one of us has been anointed and enabled by you, Holy Spirit. May we be available and may we be used by you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, Ivan.